from chaos to Pentecost. I have listened, I have read, I have watched many things over the last several weeks and even months. And one thing is clear, people are angry, scared, and confused, perplexed even, as to what is going on in the world this year. It's only been 6 months, and it's felt like 5 years. From the White House to our house, there are questions being asked by people of every sector of society. How could this happen? Watch this. I thought 2020 was a year of clear vision, blessings, and favor. I had no idea COVID-19 was going to shut things down. I never realized that I have, hear me now, so many friends on my timeline that are apathetic and insensitive to the plight of black and brown people. No cure, no vaccine, no mask, no justice, no peace. They are on administrative leave and now release. MLK, Martin Luther King Jr., said so poignantly many years ago that riots are the voice of the unheard. But what do you do when it's groups, or there are groups of people converging from out of town to stoke flames of chaos and anarchy that have no interest in Ahmaud, Breonna, or Gregory Floyd, but are looking to destroy our communities and leave us in a worse state than before? I hear the enemy saying, where is your God now? Where are your leaders? Stay silent, stay aloof, unaware, keep your head in the sand as I write perplexity on the hearts and minds of those who are hopeless and helpless. Protest is good if it's organized. Unorganized protest leads to chaos and destruction. Who's leading these people? I saw Killer Mike talking to the people of Atlanta and how he was in a joint voice with Mayor Bottoms out of Atlanta, Georgia. And he was basically saying that Mrs. Bottoms was basically telling y'all to stay y'all blank at home. This is the wrong way. You do not need to go and mess up Lenox Mall. My wife and I have been to Atlanta many times. You do not need to mess up Lenox Mall. If I bring it to Orlando, you don't need to mess up Millennium Mall. I think I saw one of the posts, my son Andre, he was showing me some of the TikTok posts, the people on Snapchat to talk about we're going to meet at the Millennium Mall. And even as we were driving by, we saw some of the windows being busted out. I was like, what in the world does Krispy Kreme have to do with this? I'm just asking you. Panda Express? And the part that really got me was that it was nothing but black people standing outside waiting to go to work at those places. What are you doing? Your anger is justified. But the scripture says, do not sin. There's a such thing as righteous indignation. And Lord knows I've felt it for quite some time. But unrighteous indignation is not good. We've seen that in the White House. I see how all these people are coming together with their own agenda. Let's go ahead and piggyback off of this. But on their timelines, they have nothing about God and nothing about the plight of black or brown people. But I want to tell you the truth, along with some good news. The devil is the author of confusion, but Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. I think you missed it. The good news, along with the truth, is the devil is the author of confusion. So if things are confusing, it ain't God. It's not God. People are up in the middle of the night and they don't even know what's going on. It's not God. That's not God. That ain't God. I got people inboxing me saying that we want to try to come together, Pastor Martin, to do a rally in Orlando. Are you with me? I said, I'm all in. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, as long as it's God. And we got people that are sending the young ones out there while they stay in the back of the line to start throwing rocks at the police or to assault a police officer, but then they get a bullet in the chest or tear gas with asthma issues while you're in the comfort of your home or while you're in the comfort of your car or away from the most volatile of scenes. Be careful, people who are planning to march, if you're part of this congregation, be careful as you are marching that you do not get swept up into someone else's agenda. Don't get swept up into another agenda. Make sure that your agenda stays pure, that you're speaking or have a voice for the voiceless. But if it starts feeling confusing, that's when it's time for you to leave. Use wisdom. Listen to godly counsel. These things don't move me, however, as a child of God. Not at all. And you, as a child of God, do you not realize that you are the missing piece that can bring peace? If there's anything that should be coming out of your timeline in the midst of righteous indignation, is also hope and peace. That God is the prescription for the pandemic, the plague, the persecution that's going on in this world. Matter of fact, the prescription that is needed is actually Pentecost. It's going to make sense in just a moment. You see, people of God, the whole idea behind this thing called Pentecost is that they were of one place or in one place. This COVID thing was really trying to get and keep people divided. It was trying to, but slowly but surely, people are coming from out of the shadows. Even as my wife and I were just relaxing in our room this weekend, we saw Negroes everywhere. They were so relaxed until we smelled weed coming up through the vents from the outside into our room. I kept it open for a little while, and then I closed it. It was only so that I could really discern what it was all about. My wife was like, you smell that? I was like, yes, I do. Lots of memories. I even had somebody try to inbox me asking me if they wanted to sell me some gas. I was like, 20 years too late, my brother. 20 years too late. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. In one place. Unified. Let me give you the backstory to this. 2 months prior to the day of Pentecost, the time of Jubilee, if you will, were some of the most volatile moments in biblical history. I want you to get this. The Roman government ruled with an iron fist prior to Pentecost. There was betrayal and competition among the disciples prior to Pentecost. And there were religious people trying to kill the movement called the gospel, like some of the political evangelicals of today, before Pentecost. This gospel message that these religious people were trying to kill, trying to deter this particular movement, was bringing salvation and redemption to the lost and disenfranchised of society. That's the truth of the matter. That's the true underlying story. And all this stuff happened prior to Pentecost. There were good times filled with miracles, signs, and wonders. Let me be clear. But there was also death and destruction that climaxed with the death and burial of Jesus. Right before Pentecost, one of their leaders, transformational leaders, was killed. If you ever get a chance to look at history, notice what was going on after Reverend Martin Luther King was killed and after Malcolm X was killed, how much chaos and despair was in the streets during that time. Now, we have no recognizable or visible leaders that you would say are walking around today that we know of. Many of these are micro leaders in our communities in this moment in time. But you do have a lot of martyrs. Just ask the police officer who kneeled his knee down on that young man's neck. I want to say young man because me and that particular gentleman are only about a year apart. He was preaching the gospel actually in the streets. He was a little hood. But his heart was in the right place. And the part that I really dislike is when people look at individuals' records in order to try to discredit them, to try to make it seem as if they got what they deserve. But just because I have a record doesn't mean that I don't have a voice. Just because I have a record does not mean, come on, everybody focus. Just because I have a record does not mean that my message is tainted. The message is pure. There is no person on this planet that is guiltless or sinless. And I'm sorry, even if you had a crooked preacher in your family, that gives you no excuse. Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. So even if you have bad examples, that example is not the norm nor the standard. But the good news, I want to keep on articulating this point, is that Jesus got up. He still got up during this tumultuous time, with all power in his hand. And for the next month, he began to speak and appear to his people. I want you to get this. Jesus only appeared to his people. He didn't appear to anyone else. Specifically, he only appeared to his disciples. That means that there's a lot of folk that didn't see God after he rose again. So it is back then as it is now. A lot of people are not hearing God. They are not. They got a lot to say. They got a lot of posting that they're doing on Facebook. We're calling for boycotts and all of that, which is fine, it's well and good. But if you've lived on this planet for any length of time, I think a lot of these things have a lifespan of about 3 weeks. That's why church is very different, because church is a sustained effort. That's why it's important for everybody to come together. That's why you need to get you a mask and come on to the house of the Lord. Socially distance, and let's go ahead and put our hands and feet to the plow. This is the truth of the matter. There's online services going on everywhere, but there's a lot of people who are not watching. But now God is allowing for these things to happen. But why? What is he saying to us? Well, the first thing that jumped out to me is that folk are hard-headed. COVID didn't really move a lot of people into repentance. Mm-mm. That's the first thing that I thought of to myself. I was like, this made people entrench more in their pride and arrogance. And they turned the stream off. But now once that thing starts knocking to your door, what now? And I believe that the worst is yet to come. This is the cycle that we're in. But if you are his people, then Jesus will appear. He appeared to them back at that time. He appeared to impart into them timeless teachings to transform the world. Sin was the disease, but the gospel was the cure. And now that Jesus ascended to the Father, the disciples were waiting and listening for the next move. That's what I was doing for the last couple of weeks. I actually do something that's so out of character, which is to reach out to my boss and tell them, hey, I can't even teach this week because I need to rest and I need to hear what God is saying. I didn't say that to them because I know who I'm talking to. But in my own spirit, that's what I was saying. I need to rest and I need to hear. When I gave and I was talking through that podcast, I was exhausted, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally exhausted because I've seen this movie before. And I really, truly didn't rest until last night after just taking a break for several days. Sometimes you have to wait until you've been endued with power before you speak again. And there's a lot of people without power that are speaking right now. A lot. And I pray that my Caucasian brothers and sisters are speaking truth to power within their congregations this morning. I know those offerings are really good. I know you have dignitaries that may be in the city, state, or federal government, but you still have to speak truth to power. And God will bless, even in the midst of persecution. To my Caucasian brothers and sisters, you need to have the spirit of an abolitionist right now to be able to visibly partake of what is going on and to empathize with another's suffering. I don't need to speak to the choir in this particular place on what we need to do, but you do. You do. And for my black and brown people that are sitting inside of other congregations where you have a pastor or a leader that is of the other persuasion, if they are saying nothing, then you are complicit in a lot of trouble that is going on. But because they got more money, more space, you flock to those places. Don't get me wrong, I have no problem with a multicultural church as long as they're speaking truth about the culture. So these disciples were in one place. They were in one place. But there was also one sound, one sound. Verse 2 says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The silence at this moment from key people that are even within my own circle is deafening. Deafening. And Lady Martin, I think I'm going to feel some kind of way about it. Pray for me, because I am one of those type of people that if you were in a group of fellas and they were just talking a whole bunch of trash, I would be the one that would just go ahead and start swinging first. So I feel that type of spirit right now. I don't know if it's godly or not, but just pray for me when I come around these particular people. When they say, hey, brother, how you doing? Pray for me. And I mean this sincerely. So that I would keep restraint. So that I too will not bear bad witness. One sound. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. We have to be of one sound and on one accord. What is the sound that's flowing through the church right now? The sound of fear? The sound of anxiety? That Rona, that COVID, the sound of disgust, fear, and anxiety, looking at Facebook for 6 hours in a row and finding nothing but people echoing chaos with just little glimmers of hope. No, the sound that should be rushing through this place should be the breath of God. which accelerates blessings and favor amongst the people of God, to refresh them and to renew them and to release them as salt in the earth that is slowly spoiling. That is our duty. That is our job to connect. That's where our strength comes from. The enemy tried really hard with this COVID thing to tear people apart. Government stepping in saying, you can't meet until the end of the year. Noting that the key ingredients is our not forsaking ourselves to assemble together. Or the forsaking of ourselves to assemble together. One sound. The sound that I want to hear is one of jubilee. One of victory. One of faith. One of peace. One of hope. Love and long-suffering, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. That is the sound that I want to move through the halls. The sound that I also want to hear is one that's not going to be fearful of the smoke. People of God, I just want to let you know right now, I am the type of person that wants all the smoke. I want all the smoke. I am that type of person. I want all the smoke. I'm the trigger man. I'm the one who stole off on somebody. I'm the one who will say something and will do something. I want all the smoke. And I believe Isaiah was the same way. He says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and there was billows of smoke. Isaiah was like, I want all the smoke. I want all the glory. But as long as it's not strange fire that's causing the smoke. See, that's the difference. There's a lot of strange fire in the land today. The type of fire that God did not start. When God starts a fire, it doesn't start without, it starts within. It doesn't start without him, it starts within his creation. The fire has a start here in the inside. One sound. That's what those particular individuals had, but they also had one voice. Verse 3 says, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. It's like little candles appeared in the faces of all these different individuals that were in this upper room area or in these particular seats inside of the church. These were one voice because the fire represents the Holy Spirit. They didn't have their own voice. They didn't say what they want to say. They were saying what God told them to say. So important. Not only were they of one voice, they were also of one spirit. Verse 4 says, and when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, the tongue is not, come on a Honda. Or Kawasaki, or my favorite one, Elita Bosha. I think I heard a Bosha everywhere. What is? Or my personal favorite, Ibaba. The Spirit gave them utterance, not the flesh. When the Spirit gives utterance, change happens. When the flesh gives utterance, nothing changes. Have you ever seen somebody that spoke in tongues and never changed? I remember somebody, I'll never forget this, they were purging right in my conference room. I'm sorry, y'all, I didn't grow up in that type of church. I just didn't. I was like many of the young people, I was just sitting on the back row, zoned out, waiting to go downstairs to go to that ice cold water fountain that was brown and silver. Playing around in the basement, ready for it to go home. for me to go home. But the truth of the matter is that I didn't really grow up in church like that. I didn't want the religious silliness that came along with it. So the Spirit, when it gives you utterance, is basically saying what God said. Let me make it plain to you. See, what's getting ready to happen here is this. Regardless of the differences that all these individuals had because they came together and they all spoke different languages, but when they all came together, they all understood each other. It wasn't confusion. Tongues are never meant to confuse an individual. Matter of fact, God says in his word that you're not even supposed to utter those things without an interpreter. And you can't be your own interpreter. So regardless of the differences, there was one people with one message. Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem, this is the demographics here, the census here. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation from under heaven, many different tribes. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. It's like somebody from Arabia speaking in Arabic, and another one speaking in Aramaic, and another one speaking in Latin, not pig Latin. No, that don't count. No, and another one speaking in other types of languages that are along and around that particular area, speaking Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and Latin. And they were all together, devout men. Verse 7 says, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? This doesn't make any sense. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? I understand what you're saying, even though you're from a different part of the community. I understand what you're saying, even though we're different ethnicities. I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to put but and or whataboutism. What about black on black pride crime? As long as y'all take care of that first, then you could come to us. But there's a bunch of white on white crime too. Those are always going to be higher because of proximity, but that does not invalidate our grievances. I want all the smoke. I tried to get some this weekend when I opened up the window, but that wasn't the right type of smoke. I was in the flesh in that moment. Verse 8 says, and how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Verse 9 breaks down the demographics even in more detail. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, those are the Greeks, and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya. Oh man, Egypt is in that? Egyptian lovers? And the parts of Libya belonging to Crete and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So if anybody ever says that it's only the black Hebrew Israelites that's going to heaven, that says something different. Different nations, different tongues, different people with one voice hearing one sound. But I ask you this question. What was the message, or what was it that they heard when they came together? What was it? I know it wasn't Ibaba. I know it wasn't Shondo or Elabosha. I know it wasn't none of that. They understood each other. It sounds spiritual. It sounds charismatic. But there's another Greek word that I want you to be aware of. It's called kerygma. Kerygma, that means understanding the actual word of God, not just charisma only. I want us to feel God. I want us to be able to praise until the roof busts off this place. But I also want you to understand, if you're a visitor here, if you're new to this, watching online, the reason why I don't holler a whole lot, because I've seen a bunch of hollering and no change in my life. I've seen the most vocal and the most ignorant in the same room. And I can't let that happen, not under my watch. It may make a church grow slow, but at least they're growing. What is the message? What was the message that they all heard that was on one accord to make them understand each other? Well, the text gives us a hint, the mighty works of God. That was the one message that they were saying while they were speaking in tongues, the mighty works of God. Not by this time tomorrow you're going to get a new vehicle. Not by this time tomorrow you're going to get a new boo, a new spouse. All your child support payments are going to be paid off. No, no, you ain't going to. At 18 years old, that's when it's going to be done. The mighty works of God is nothing more than the gospel. That was the message that all of them understood clearly. Do you know what the gospel is? The gospel is who Jesus is and what he came to do. Who is he? He is God. What did he come to do? To save those that are lost. Those that are lost. And there's a difference between saving those that are lost and saving those that are enemies. Enemies of God, you preach the gospel and you leave them alone. But those that are lost, you keep on going after them to try to minister to them, to speak to them. For their souls are in danger. This message was the single most powerful and unifying message in the world that brings peace in the midst of chaos. This is the prescription for this pandemic, the prescription for pride, the prescription for prejudice, and a potential purge. Amen. Potential purge. So as all of you are listening this morning, including my teens, hopefully you do not have any devices looking at any type of video games. Put it up, put it away. You need to listen. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 says, and they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Now, wait a minute. They were all speaking together about the mighty works of God. But then they came back and said, what does this all mean? It doesn't make any sense. And I'll tell you about it in a minute. The verse goes on to say, but others were mocking them. This will help somebody. And said, they are filled with new wine. But I don't know if they were quite lying. Maybe they were filled with new wine. Because you can't put new wine and old wine skins. That's part of it, but the context of this particular statement is this. When you are led by the Spirit, you can hear. When you are led by your flesh, you are tone deaf to the things of God. When God's people hear the message, it brings joy and conviction. When the world hears it, it brings sorrow and condemnation. I think I was on one particular well-known journalist page on yesterday trying to communicate some clarity. And some folk had the audacity to say, after they found out that George Floyd was a Christian and he was in the hood with the Bible, they actually had the audacity to say, and maybe you all might have this thought process even in this building, where was God when he needed him? But I don't know if that's really something that should not be addressed. Because even believers have that same thought process. Where was God as this man was putting his knee on his neck? Why did God allow for that to happen? And then under what I hope and believe was the Holy Spirit, I said, there's always a sacrificial lamb before change takes place. somebody that does not deserve what they've gotten in order to spotlight the sin that is within. And so sometimes God allows for tragedy and calamity to happen in order to dust up what's really going on. Never before have you seen police officers marching along with people saying all black lives matter. I haven't seen it before. I haven't seen this many celebrities saying things. Maybe it's because they can't go nowhere. I don't know. But I do know that sometimes God allows for things to happen on purpose because he has a plan. And if you're an unbeliever wondering what is going on with this, please understand that to the Christian, death is not an end, but it's the beginning. Death is not the final say. We're not trying to make heaven on earth. We're trying to bring the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God's way of doing things before he makes his own purge by fire, as it says in the book of Revelation. So his soul is intact. His suffering is now gone. He's been released. And notice what death brought. If Emmett Till did not die, there would be no civil rights movement. If Martin Luther King and Malcolm did not die, you would not have the Voting Rights Act. Well, we shouldn't have to take all of that. Not with wicked people. Wicked people don't have God's spirit. So sometimes you have to put things in their face. And the video was undeniable. They had so many angles of this video, my brother, my sister. It was not even funny. It had video angles from everywhere. It was indisputable. And if you have people that were still trying to deny that, that means that they're full of pride. And we need to speak to those things. This is the truth of the matter. So even as I come around the mountain here, remember, when you are led by the Spirit, you can hear when Jesus appears. When you are led by your flesh, you are tone deaf to the things of God. When you march, when you protest, when you post, don't do it in the flesh. You have to be as calm, or wise as a serpent, and then as calm as a dove. Because people remember things, and they'll try to hang you by the rope that you have posted. Later on, you have to be wise. I know some silence is cowardice, but some silence is wisdom. So let's set the record straight and get back on message, even in the midst of all this silliness that's going on and all the stress and pain that's going on in the world. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 21, and then I'm done. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. This is everybody and their mama in them. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk. First of all, worldly person that will never go to church, what you are hearing is not what he's saying. Or she's saying. It's not the same thing. Peter had to correct them. So guess what? You're not being petty if you correct people. I know some of y'all had that petty spirit. Pastor Mark got a little bit of it too, but I'm trying to work on it. I'm going to get you back, though. I'm going to get you back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But you got to set the record straight. You can't allow for wicked people to apply their own definition to godly things. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to correct the record. I saw one young brother that said, well, where was Jesus for the last 400 years and right now? I was like, well, number one, there were Christians before slavery. So it was Jesus that got them through. Many of our ancestors came to this world as believers. And so when an atheist says something, especially if they're of the other persuasion, I said, do you not realize that it was non-believers that enslaved all these people? They surely weren't followers of God. They were either religious or atheists. And how dare you speak that way and use this moment to give a knock at God, and your angst with God is stronger than this man's death. Let me set the record straight. Because there was a lot of unbelievers that came up with this whole notion that one particular race is superior to the other. That's why you had the Tuskegee experiments. That's why you had black men being injected with syphilis because they wanted to see how our bodies reacted in the name of science. And through Darwinian evolution, that we were on a slower path. And that you had eugenics and so I think you are the last person that needs to speak at this very hour. Because I know my history on both sides of the spectrum. We are spiritual people. I believe that we are the nation's conscience at this hour. That's not to say that our white brothers and sisters don't have a conscience. I'm just saying that we're having two different conversations right now, and you need to speak to those that you have influence over in your churches this morning. I don't need to speak for you, for them. You don't need to bring me to Northland right now to talk about racism or the First Baptist Church of Orlando. And if you're a Caucasian pastor with a black congregation, you gotta mean it when you say it. Want all the smoke, Lady Martin. I'm okay with it. I'm good with it. Verse 15 says, "For these people are not as drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." Now look at this. I want y'all to focus on this for a moment. You can go ahead and play, my brother. Here's the message. When there is chaos and confusion, the enemy spreads fear and propaganda. The disciples were traumatized for all that happened with Jesus. They were traumatized and elated all at the same time. And now the promise came, the comforter came. And now all these nations came together, people who were once enemies with each other, all up under the umbrella of the gospel, now came together because they had one voice, one sound, and one place, with one message under one spirit. They set the record straight when people of the world were trying to discredit the things of God. And that's exactly what Peter did. Peter said, "These people are not as drunk as you think. This ain't got nothing to do with some worldly or some fleshly type thing that's out there. It has nothing to do with that. Listen what the prophet Joel said." And he says this in verse 17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall say exactly what God said." And I don't need a conference with 15 $100 lines in order to do it. Or a flyer saying that you need to cash at me with your personal prophecy. And verse 19 says, "And I will show," not no one else, "and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Where there's smoke, I heard somebody in the spirit already said, where there's smoke, there's fire, but not strange fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood for before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is what they heard in the upper room, the mighty works of God, the gospel, not their flesh, not some chaotic message, not things leading to destruction, no, deliverance from sin through the gospel. Preach the gospel, by all means, preach the gospel. But if the gospel is the only thing that you preach without the sin that's bubbling to the surface, then you're just doing a general message. No, no, no. If you're preaching the gospel, you should say, God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. But my brothers and my sisters, I just want to let you know that racism, pride, and prejudice is something that you can be delivered from. You get what I'm coming from? You can be delivered from that. You do not have to follow what grandma and grandpa said. You don't have to listen to that. You don't have to look at weird little cartoons of Sambo and Jigaboos and all these different types of minstrel shows. You don't have to watch these things. You don't have to have blackface with no cameras. Let's change before you get exposed. And just because you marry a white woman or a black man, that doesn't mean that you're exempted from this. Because that's one of the biggest blind spots that's out there. Well, my children are black. But you won't let them come over to the house. Not over mama's house. No, no. So let's set the record straight, people of God. Come on, stand to your feet. From chaos to Pentecost. It's a lot going on in the world today. And some people might be saying, well, you didn't holler. Yes, I did. I hollered to the top of my lungs as a black man in this nation for the disenfranchised, those that can't speak for themselves, those that cannot articulate for themselves. I want to be a voice for the voiceless. I want to introduce one spirit to those that are fighting demonic spirits. I want to let them know about the one sound that's permeating this place, and it's the sound of victory and jubilee. It's one thing to cry out in pain, but it's another thing to cry out to God. So let's not put our head in the sand. Let's not act like nothing is happening, because we are in one place and on one accord. True change comes through unity. Don't let anyone ever tell you different. True change comes through unity. And even if you know somebody that is lost today, bring them to the ministry so they can learn how to unify themselves and to come together so that we can really be a beacon of light in this community. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you and we lift up your holy name. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness. I pray that you encourage my Caucasian brothers and sisters that have ministries or even family circles, that they speak truth to power with courage and be deliberate, no matter the consequences. I pray for my own community and my own people that we do not have unrighteous indignation, that we do not burn our communities and burn our places. Let us focus our protest on the right thing. Let us have clarity in these particular matters. Let us not be so out of order till we burn down our own businesses that we've worked decades just to try to bring together. Let us all be of one sound, one voice, one mind, one body, and one spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Through worship and song, I love you. Lord, I love you forever.
I love you forever.
I love you forever.
love you forever.
Repeat it.
I love you.
Come on, church.
Forever. I love you forever. Lord, we'll serve you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever.
I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you've been empowered. I pray for those that will purposely misunderstand this message. I pray that God opens up your eyes and your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care, everybody. God bless you. God keep you. Tell someone about Jesus and this ministry too. Be blessed.